The Science of the Cross by Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Continuing Chapter 22, In the Image of Christ Crucified. The darkest path is the most secure. This doctrine from the dark night is stressed with great emphasis in St. John's spiritual direction. Quote, "Since your soul finds herself in this darkness and void of spiritual poverty, you believe you are lacking everything, and that everyone has abandoned you. Of course, that is no wonder, since you even think God has forsaken you. However, nothing is missing. Whoever seeks God and nothing else is not wandering in darkness, no matter how dark and poor you think you are. Whoever does not walk in presumption and does not follow her own tastes, whether in what concerns God or creatures, and does not insist on her own will, whether internally or externally, will not stumble now. You were never in a better position than now, for you were never so humble and submissive, and never thought so little of yourself and of all the things of the world. Never did you recognize yourself to be so evil and God so good. Never did you serve God as purely and so much without self-interest as now. What more do you want? What do you think? Is serving anything other than fleeing evil, keeping God's commandments, and taking care of our affairs as best we can? If you are doing this, what other perceptions, enlightenment, and pleasures do you need? Since in these, the soul ordinarily meets so many deceptions and dangers. That is why it is a great grace when God leads the soul in darkness and detachment, so that she will no longer be led astray through her faculties. Let us live on earth like pilgrims and the poor, like the banished and orphans, in dryness, without a way, and without anything else, but always in hope." Unquote. The saint writes to his spiritual daughters most lovingly, but the love is nothing other than a heartfelt desire for their eternal salvation. Quote, "As long as God does not give us this in heaven, tarry in self-denial and patience with the wish, through your suffering, to resemble somewhat this great God in his humility and love for the cross. If our life did not consist in imitating the crucified, it has no value." Unquote. St. John, accordingly, could not believe in the authenticity of supposedly higher graces in prayer in a soul that lacked humility. When he was commissioned by the general vicar of the Discalced Carmelite Fathers, Padre Nicolas Doria, to evaluate a nun who was considered highly favored, he expressed his opinion with conviction. Quote, "The principal fault lies in this, that in her behavior there is no indication of humility. For the favors of which she speaks, if indeed there are any, are usually given only to a soul who has first totally emptied and as it were annihilated herself in perfect inner humiliation. Even though the effects of humility are not as noticeable in all the apprehensions of God, these graces with which one is favored in the state of union, and this is what she is speaking of, still bring with them an attitude of humility. Let them try her in the practice of sheer virtue, especially in self-contempt, humility, and obedience. In the echo of such an impact, one will perceive the resonance of quality of soul which such great graces should impart. But these tests must be thoroughgoing, for there is no devil who is unwilling to suffer something for the sake of his honor." Unquote. The same spirit exudes from the special counsels for the behavior of religious that the saint wrote down on various occasions. Among the instructions, presumably written for the Carmelite nuns of Beas, we find the following three precautions against the flesh. Quote, 1. In the first place, you should remember that in order to be free of all imperfections and all confusion which might be caused you by the character of the religious and by the way they act, and in order to draw benefit from everything that happens, you must consider all to be instruments. This is really what they are, found in Carmel in order to work on you. One will belabor you with words, the other through actions, the third through thoughts that are directed against you. Submit yourself to them all, as would an image which would be carved by one, painted by another, and gold-plated by a third. If you do not observe this, you will be unable to conquer your sensuality and your sensitivity, nor will you be able to get along with the religious in the monastery. You will not enjoy holy peace, and you will be unable to escape making many a misstep. 2. Never omit a work that does not appeal to you, and for which you have no taste, if it is a matter of serving God. Neither do something solely for the sake of taste and for the satisfaction it would bring you, but rather as though it inspires aversion. Otherwise, you will never attain constancy or conquer your weaknesses. 3. A spiritual soul should never be preoccupied at its practices by what is pleasant about them and carry them out for that reason. Even more, she should never boggle at doing them because they appear to be unpleasant. One should rather prefer what is burdensome. In this way, one reins in sensuality. You will be unable to remove self-love, nor will you arrive at the love of God in any other way. God calls souls into the monastery in order to test them and to purify them, as gold is tried by fire and the hammer. For this reason, trials and temptations from human beings and evil spirits must come upon one, as must the fire of anxiety and lack of consolation. The religious must take such things upon herself in patience and in conformity with the will of God, and not in such a manner that God would be forced to cast her aside because she was unwilling to carry the cross of Christ with patience. Do not look for a cross that appears lighter to you, for the heavier the burden, the lighter it is when one carries it out of love for God. If you are burdened, then you live in union with God, who is your strength, for God holds the grieving one upright. If you are relieved of the burden, you will find your strength in yourself alone, you who are weakness itself. For the strength and fortitude of the soul grows and is confirmed in the patient bearing of trials. God values in you the inclination to dryness and suffering out of love for Him, more than all the consolations, spiritual visions, and all the meditations you could possibly have. One cannot attain perfection if one cannot manage to be satisfied with nothing, so that the natural and spiritual appetites are satisfied in emptiness. This is required in order to reach both the highest degree of rest and peace of soul. And in this way, the love of God is continually effective in the pure and simple soul. Unquote. A whole series of maxims has the imitation of Christ as its direct object. Quote, "Progress in the spiritual life is impossible without the imitation of Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the gate through which those who wish to be saved must enter. Let your first care be to have a glowing desire to imitate Christ in all your works. Endeavor to do everything as the Lord Himself would do it. Should some pleasure offer itself to your senses which does not purely serve the honor and glory of God, renounce it and keep yourself free of it out of love for Jesus Christ, who in this life sought no other pleasure than to fulfill the will of His Father. He called that His nourishment and food. Allow yourself to be crucified interiorly and exteriorly with Christ, and you will live this life in the rest and peace of His soul, and keep yourself in patience. The crucified Christ should be enough to satisfy you. Suffer and rest with Him. Without Him, have neither suffering nor rest. For that, free yourself from all exterior things and from interior peculiarities. If you desire to possess Christ, never seek Him without the cross. Whoever seeks not the cross of Christ also seeks not the glory of Christ. What does he know who does not know how to suffer for the sake of Christ? The greater and heavier the burdens are, the better is the lot of those who bear them. Rejoice always in God, your salvation, and remember how sweet it is to suffer in every possible way for Him who is veritably good. If you desire to be perfect, sell your will. Give it to the poor in spirit. Come to Christ in meekness and humility, and follow Him to Calvary and to the grave. The troubles and sufferings one bears for love of God are like precious pearls. The larger they are, the more valuable they are, and the more love for the donor they call forth in the one who receives them. So are also the sufferings a creature causes if one accepts them for God's sake. Worth the more, the greater they are, and they call forth a greater love of God. And for enduring suffering for God's sake on earth, which lasts but a moment, His Majesty gives endless and eternal goods in heaven, Himself, His beauty, and glory. Unquote. This has been taken from The Science of the Cross by Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, translated by Josephine Koppel, OCD. Copyright 2003 by the Washington Province of Discalced Carmelites. For more information, contact ICS Publications, 2131 Lincoln Road Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20002, on the web at www.icspublications.org, or call 1-800-832-8489.
This has been Christian Classics with Teresa Hofer. Listen every Monday through Friday at this time as Teresa continues her great readings and selections from classic Christian literature. Right here on the Ave Maria Radio Network, news and talk for Catholic and other Christians.